D-Base, Vin Gindonic, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen here with you. Vanderbilt is in action tonight at Memorial Gym against the number one team in the land, the Auburn Tigers. 6 o'clock tip-off. Pregame starts at 5:30 right here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. And joining us on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, to preview this matchup, Tim Thompson, Vanderbilt men's basketball analyst. Tim, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So Auburn coming off a loss over the weekend at home to Florida, 90-81. It was Auburn's second loss of the season, first in conference play. Now, I understand that the two teams that have beaten Auburn are in a different weight class than Vanderbilt, that being Florida and Duke. But as you analyze Auburn, Tim, and think about ways that Vanderbilt could try to upset them, are there elements of the games you saw against Florida and Duke that maybe are replicable for Vanderbilt as they look to take advantage here?
Well, yeah, I mean, you look at a team like Auburn and, you know, they get beat at home against Florida and they still retain their number one ranking. So their body of work is, you know, unbelievable. I think in this new net ranking era, that kind of thing, you know, they're a team that is really veteran laden. They got two guys on the team that I think are close to being older than Luka Doncic at 25 years old. So, you know, and then, you know, you've got Janiah Broom, who probably could be the SEC player of the year. You know, he's a guy that, you know, can score inside. He's a pretty good defensive player. He can shoot the three. You know, Vanderbilt's got their hands cut or their hands full tonight, just because I just think that, you know, the veteran leadership that Auburn has and the fact that they get beat at home, they're going to be coming in here loaded for bear. And, you know, if Vanderbilt's going to win this basketball game, they're going to have to shoot the basketball from the perimeter. Tyler Nichols is going to have to step up again and knock down shots. You know, you're going to have to get some help inside. Jalen Carey had a great game against Texas, 18 points, 14 rebounds last Saturday. You're going to have to get, you know, some points and rebounds on the inside. And then you're going to have another guy step up. You know, Edwards is a guy that is going to get you, you know, 17, 18 points a game. He might have to step up and get close to 25 tonight in order for Vanderbilt to win this basketball game.
I was reading a story on CBS Sports about how Vanderbilt has turned things around in Mark Byington's first year, of course, which you know firsthand. And I love this quote from Byington in the story. The author writes, "Nowhere is Byington's loathing of labels more evident than with the Commodores roster, which includes 18 players listed as point guards." Byington said, "It's a little bit of sarcasm, but at the same time, when you're a basketball player, you're a basketball player. We play as modern basketball as anybody, and it's not just to be modern. I think it's the right way to play, and I think it fits." Can you expand on that and what that modern basketball looks like and how it's helped Vanderbilt get to this point? Did we lose Tim?
Yeah. I think we lost Tim.
We lost Tim. Man.
Can you hear me?
Yes, oh, there you go.
Hi, Tim. Tim's back.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Yeah, we got you back.
I'm sorry. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yeah, we got you, Tim.
I'm sorry. I don't know what happened here. Hold on just a second. There we go. I'm sorry. Yeah, I think it was an interesting comment. I think, you know, and Willie, you've been around enough. You know, everybody wants to be a point guard. And I think his comment more than anything is that he wants playmakers. And it doesn't make any difference what position you play, whether you're a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, what position you play. If you're a playmaker, that's all he's asking. And, you know, you look at what Jalen Carey did the other day. I mean, he's a 5 guy, a 4 guy, but he's a playmaker. And that's what Coach Byington wants. The way that he spreads his offense out and creates great spacing, I think is the way kids want to play. And, you know, he turned this roster over completely in 6 weeks when he first took the job. I mean, to be honest with you, over the last 5 years, Vanderbilt was probably playing with a lot of mid-major players, because if you look at the players that have left Vanderbilt and where they're playing or not playing now, I mean, it's really obvious the dramatic difference in talent level from last year to this year. And, you know, we've got 5 wins in the league. I think that, you know, it, being 12-1 pre-conference, if we get to 8 wins in the SEC, I think you get an NCAA bid.
We'll talk with Tim Thompson, Vanderbilt's men's basketball analyst. Now, Tim, looking at this game, obviously Auburn's a tall team. They're long, and they can play small ball. But when you look at Vanderbilt, especially at the guard position, how critical is it going to be for guys like Jason Edwards and A.J. Hogarth? Edwards has been averaging close to 20 points over the last 5 games, and shooting close to, I think, 40% from three-point range, and he only has 7 turnovers in that span. But how critical is it going to be for that guard play? Because Hogarth started off slow the last game, but then he picked it up and helped with the win. But how important is it going to be for them?
Well, I think you make a great point, Derek. Is, you know, it's those two guys, you know, with Edwards' offense, Hogard's leadership. If you look at Hogarth, you're right. He started out 0 for 11 in the first half, and then he made some plays down the stretch where he penetrated, made a three, made his free throws. He had 6 assists. He's got to step it up and be better than 4 for 15 tonight. He's got to shoot in that 50% range, in my opinion. He's got to create off the dribble. The one thing about AJ, he's a big, strong kid. He can get downhill. When he gets you on your hip, his hip, now all of a sudden he becomes a different player because he's got a nice little floater and he can finish at the rim. But I think for sure Hogarth and Edwards have to step up. I think you've got to get some play from MJ Collins as well. He did a great job on Trey Johnson from Texas defensively. If you can get some offense out of MJ Collins, and then I think, you know, you've got Tyler Tanner, who's not shot the ball great, but, you know, if he comes in and can give you a little bit of defense and a little bit of offense, now all of a sudden those 4 guards, they become difference makers to make Vanderbilt a different team when you get some scoring out of them.
Now, Willie and I were talking about this, I think it may have been last week, about how well Vanderbilt plays defense in the lanes with their hands. I saw it on display, and it seems like this team, for whatever reason, even though they're not big, they play great defense when you're talking about passing lanes and everything else like that. What do you contribute that to?
Well, I think it's part of Byington's system. Mm-hmm. You know, when you start talking about gap defense, help defense, I think they're really good about gap defense, where if a guy gets beat off the dribble from the perimeter, you know, you've got a teammate helping you. And a guy like Grant Huffman, Hogarth, Edwards, they have quick hands. You know, a guy brings the basketball down below his shoulders going into the lane, it's going to get stripped. That's just the way they play basketball. And I think it's a tribute to Coach Byington. You know, we're not a big team. You look at McLaughlin and you look at Carey, and there are 5 guys, and they're really 5 guys playing out of position. They're really 4 men is what they are. And I think we've done a great job, you know, in what we've done so far with, you know, a couple of our big guys playing out of position. But the one thing that offers is a little bit of quickness compared to a guy maybe that's 6'10", 6'11", that they're guarding. Now all of a sudden you got quicker hands and that kind of thing, and you create steals off that 5 position as well.
Tim Thompson is with us. It'll be Tim, along with our buddy Kevin Ingram, on the call tonight. 6 o'clock is the start, Vanderbilt against number 1 Auburn. Tim, one thing I've really been impressed with is now that you can kind of get over to the side of the court when you're coaching at Memorial, I see Byington a lot, almost directing traffic. They've got such an intricate offense. It seems like he can find the matchups he's looking for pretty well with this team. And on a different night, it could be a different guy that has the best matchup. It was Hogarth, as Derek was saying, late in the game that seemed to be the guy that had a good matchup. He made a couple big buckets. Other times it's been Edwards. Other times it's Carey. But I feel like they can recognize it. I'm just worried about tonight. Auburn doesn't have too many bad matchups out there. They've got so many different weapons. But I do think he does a great job of finding the best way to go about it on offense.
And Willie, that you're spot on that. I mean, you really, if you look at, you know, a guy like Tyler Nickel, you know, he had 17 points against Texas, and he got those 17 points off of exactly what you're talking about. Byington recognizing, you know, Nickel's 6'7", and all of a sudden he's got a 6'3", 6'4" guy playing him. And now, you know, he runs him off screens. He gets a wide open three, that kind of thing. I think that's the one thing Coach Byington does a great job of. And, you know, I really hadn't even thought about, you know, the sideline opportunities for coaches now. I mean, back when you and I played, Willie, they couldn't get out of the coach's box, so they basically had to stay in the, you know, in the end zone, basically, to coach. Now, you know, they've gotten the ability to almost go all the way to half court. And, you know, the officials really aren't going to call anything. So now you have some of that stuff where, you know, a coach coaching on the sideline, recognizing some of those matchups. But again, to your point, you know, you look at Auburn and, you know, they're a tough matchup. You've got, you know, Baker Mazzara, who's a kid that can guard probably 1 through 4, you know, Broome can guard 4 and 5, you know, a guy like Dylan Cardwell can come in and he can guard 4 and 5. And then I think Denver Jones is one of the guys that is kind of an unsung hero. He's really good defensively. So, you know, Auburn's a tough match. I mean, we're talking about Vanderbilt. They're a tough match for anyone. And, you know, based on what the SEC has right now, and depending on how a friend of mine, we were talking this morning, if Alabama, Auburn, and Florida are all in different brackets, you might be able to see those three teams in the Final Four. That's how good this league is, and that's how good those three teams are.
I was going to follow up with that, Tim, because I think this Vanderbilt team is really fun to watch. They play with great energy, but they happen to be in a league, and you've watched this league for a long, long time. There have been some great years in the SEC, but do you think this is the deepest that the league has ever been? I saw Lunardi, he had 3 1 seeds and 2 2 seeds from the league just the other day.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, all the years that I've been watching it, I think this is the deepest. I mean, if you look at, you know, the records, if you go to the SEC and look at the standings, and, you know, you see it, you know, a team like South Carolina hadn't won a game, but they're a solid team. I mean, it's amazing the depth. And, you know, LSU and Ole Miss played the other day, and LSU gave that game away. You know, they had Ole Miss on the ropes. And, you know, I think potentially this league could get 13 teams in the tournament, which I'm not sure if that's ever been done before. You know, one conference has 13 teams in the dance. You know, you look at Vanderbilt's schedule right now. You got Auburn at home, and then Saturday you go to Tennessee, and then next Wednesday you go to Kentucky, and then you come home, and I think we play Ole Miss.
Ole Miss, that's right.
I mean, it's brutal. There's just no, what I would say, lightweight that you're going to be able to roll in somewhere and think, oh, I automatically, you know, since I'm playing at home, I'm automatically going to win. That's out the window. You better come to play every game or you're going to be in a tough situation down the stretch.
By the way, just to interject, Willie, the record for most bids by one conference in a single NCAA tournament is the Big East in 2011, 11
right.
teams.
And did the Big East have 16 teams that year in the league? I guess they did, but
they
I'm
did,
not sure.
11 of 16.
Of course, the SEC has 16. For years, they only had 10
yes,
and then 12.
The Big East had 16.
Tim and I can remember playing in a SEC that had 10 teams. We're getting older. We're getting removed from that now, right, Tim? But
That's right.
But I just would love to get your perspective on the energy that you see from Mark Byington. They've opened up the new offices and facilities right next door to Memorial, which is still, I think, I'm biased, but as good as any top 10 venue. If you have it in the right atmosphere, I'm hoping that that's there tonight. But he's got that energy that I think is infectious. The team plays that way. So I'm just curious your thoughts of his fit with Vanderbilt, with where they are in the big picture, trying to rebound from, as you kind of pointed out, it's been a down period for the last 6-8 years.
Yeah, Willie, I worked for Nike for 25 years. And I've been in college sports marketing, and I've been to so many venues, practice facilities over those 25 years. And I walked in the Huber Center a little over a week ago, and I looked around and I was like, I've never been in one this nice. And people ask me, what do you mean? Vanderbilt's got that nice? I'm telling you, it is off the charts, beyond anything what you would expect. I don't know if you've been in there.
I haven't yet.
But it's beautiful. And, you know, you have a coach like Coach Byington who's come in, who, to your point, has a lot of energy. And I've always said, you know, if you're going to be a college coach, you have to have a college mentality. And when, you know, when you get out of bed in the morning and both feet hit the floor, you're thinking about high school recruiting. You're thinking about portal. You're thinking about NIL. And that's what we have now, is a guy and his staff that's what they think about. And, you know, I know for a fact that they probably have a list of portal kids that at the end of the season, they'll be doing their due diligence on, you know, looking at kids from other conferences and, you know, other divisions and that kind of thing. I just think now that they're winning, you also see the energy at Memorial Gym. I mean, I thought the Texas crowd was great. The, you know, Tennessee, Kentucky, they both bring their share of fans, but I still thought those crowds were very good. The way we played, we took their fans out of the game. But that Texas game, it was 99% Vanderbilt fans, and I thought the energy and the, you know, the electricity was kind of back to the old Memorial magic a little bit. But I love Coach Byington and the energy that he has.
Tim Thompson, Vanderbilt men's basketball analyst, joining us on D-Mays, Vingan and Donick. Tim, thank you so much for your time. Enjoy the game tonight.
All right. Thanks so much. Take care.
You can tune in to 102.5, 106.3, the game tonight. Vanderbilt hosts Auburn at Memorial Gym, a 6 o'clock tip-off, pregame show at 5:30.
Hey, I wonder if Tim, because I believe there will be a storming of the court, I do, but I wonder
just wait 60 seconds.
Yeah, I wonder if Tim, the guy that's going to count down the clock, like turn it on right there.
That'd be a good job for Tim.
Exactly.
Excuse me for a minute, Kevin. Let me get on I have my big stopwatch here.
Derek, exactly. By the way, has his
something
check,
you'd see like at a swim meet,
out?
You know, get the big clock and count it down. I wonder if they have that.
Derek has his checkbook out on the
yes.
desk. Are you about to write a $500,000 check?
Oh, hell no. $5 check to the fund, yes.
That's
what Willie
would
do.
You know what is great about this? Oh, don't look my way. I'll be looking the other way. You look at me. No, you must be looking over here. But this is going to be special tonight. And I really hope. I'm going to go to the game. I hope that the atmosphere is what it should be when number one comes to town. I've watched it through the years a few times. Before I got to Vanderbilt, this was one of the things that kind of enticed me about Memorial Gym when I came on my visit. A year or two before, they had beaten, you'll like this, Adam, North Carolina.
Always
they were
good,
number one.
Always a good time.
A J.R. Reed North Carolina team. A Jeff Lebo North Carolina team. Really good team. Beat them. My senior year, when I didn't play, I was keeping stats. I focused only on baseball, but it was my guys, the guys that I played with. They beat a Rick Pitino Kentucky team that was number one. Not too long ago, it's still, you know, we're getting older. It doesn't seem that long ago for young people. It's like, oh, I don't remember those teams. I think it was 08. It was the defending national champion Florida team that had the same guys back and ended up winning it again. They were number one with Noah and
Al Horford.
Al Horford and Green, Sidney Green's son. Yeah. They had a great team. It was a great team. Vanderbilt beat them. They stormed the court. Shane Foster was on that team. It's a special thing. And I remember what Kevin Stallings said. And I was there one night where they beat a Bruce Pearl, a Tennessee team that was number one. I think it was right around that same time. So number ones have fallen at Memorial Gym a few times. But it's such a great opportunity. You could go your whole college career as a player and never play number one. So when you have number one coming into your building, it's a great opportunity. That was the motivational speech by Kevin Stallings. I remember he said, he told his team, you may not ever get this chance. What are you going to do with the opportunity to play number one? So there's nothing to lose, right? There's no reason to be nervous or anything. Just go in and take your shot.
615-737-1025. We'll continue the conversation next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063, the game.